great to be here. Very good. I'm grateful for the Lord for all his overruling that permits us to be here. The title for our lesson is from Matthew, the 11th chapter, and we will read verses 29 and 30. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Can everyone hear? I can't speak a whole lot louder, but I hope you can hear. We believe that these words of Jesus contain several lessons. But the lesson that is most familiar to us can be expressed by paraphrasing his words and expanding on them just a little. This lesson that we're most familiar with suggests that our Lord is saying, I invite you to take my yoke and share it with me, to become my yoke fellow. And if you do, you will find that the yoke is easy and the burden seems light. And the reason it will be easy and the burden seem light is because I am yoked together with you to help you bear the burden when the going is rough and the load becomes too heavy for you. This is the lesson that is most familiar to us in these words. I'm going to illustrate that type of yoke and from that standpoint of a lesson. The Lord is talking about a yoke that is built to pull two animals together. That's a familiar thing called an ox yoke. And the animal's neck sticks through here, and there's a bow that holds the yoke to the animal, and the load, the wagon, or the cart that they pull is attached to the center. There are several paragraphs in the reprints that express this general thought relative to these verses. And we know that the thought is in harmony with other New Testament scriptures, which make clear that none of the little flock, including the apostles, could make their calling election sure unless they became yoke fellows with Jesus for the entire journey. Today we want to consider another lesson, though, from these verses, from these words of our Lord. But in doing it, we don't want anyone to set aside this lesson that we are familiar with, the thought of being yoked together with Jesus, because that is a truth. But even so, we think we can gain another lesson by considering these verses from just a little different standpoint. I'm going to paraphrase our Lord's words again and expand on them. These two verses, 11, 29, and 30. We're going to suggest that this is what the Lord is saying. He's saying, I invite you to take my yoke, to take the yoke that I have taken, and learn of me. Those words, learn of me, we want to emphasize because those aren't emphasized in the other lesson. Later on, we'll treat that. And learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. The yoke that I have taken is an easy yoke for me. The burden attached to it is a light burden for me. And why do I ask you to learn of me? Because my yoke will be easy for you, and the burden attached to it will be light, only if you learn of me, only if you become meek and lowly of heart. Now, that suggests a different kind of yoke. I always have to explain my pictures. That's a man. Not a woman. This is a yoke across here. It is a strong beam, and it's shaped to fit across the back and the shoulder muscles. And then attached to it are strong cords are the burden, the load. It's usually arranged so that by bending down a little bit, the load can rest on the ground. And standing up, it lifts off. And a man can carry very heavy loads in this way. So this is a yoke. Suggesting for the second lesson that we consider the yoke as something like that, a people yoke, if you will. In the time remaining, there's some of the questions that we're going to ask and answer. What is a literal yoke? We've illustrated here. What is its purpose? Can we discuss the purpose? What is the symbolic meaning of the word yoke? What is the significance of the verb take? Because Jesus said, take my yoke. And what scriptures express the thought of Jesus taking his yoke? There should be scriptures. How do we take his yoke? What does easy mean? And what does burden mean? And going back to verse 28, which we didn't read, we note that the invitation is to those who are who labor and are heavy laden. And who are these? These are some of the questions that we'll consider in our lesson. A literal yoke, of course, is something like this. The yoke is properly designed, this people yoke. I'm going to hide this yoke, so when I talk about a yoke, we'll only have one yoke here. If this yoke is properly designed, if it's designed to fit the individual, that means the burden will be borne on the strong shoulder and neck muscles right here. If it's properly designed, it won't press on a vertebrae here. And it will be just the right length so that the load comes just right so that the hands can guide it and the shoulders can support it. I think our Lord perhaps built not only animal yokes, but he was a carpenter's son, and that was part of the business. Perhaps he was familiar with what an easy yoke meant. Surely he knew that it had to be designed properly. The purpose of the yoke is, in case of oxen, is to enable the oxen to pull the plow or the cart or the wagon. And in the case of a people yoke, it enables the man to carry a heavy load. The symbolic meaning of yoke? Well, the word is a symbol of servitude. And servitude implies bondage to someone or to something. The yoke suggests the absence of liberty to determine one's own course of action. When the oxen are yoked together, one can't go this way to graze if he wants to graze, and one that way. They have a common. Mankind doesn't like servitude and bondage and the lack of freedom. And we can understand why. Because much of man's energy, the energy of fallen man, has been devoted to bringing his fellow man, his fellow human beings, into bondage of one kind or another. Man has been much occupied with trying to put a yoke upon his fellow man of one kind or another. And since our Lord returned in 1874 with a shout of awakening, the cry, break the yoke, so to speak, give me liberty, has spread to all nations, and it becomes more intense every day. Mankind is no longer satisfied to be yoked to serve someone else's purpose. this fallen man bring others into bondage? Well, he uses force, or he uses enticement, or he uses fear. The latter two, enticement and fear, are special tools of Satan. This brings us to consider the significance of the words that Jesus said, "Take my yoke." What is meaning? Take my yoke. Here there is no thought of force, and certainly there is no deception in our Lord's word, because he reminded all who would be his disciples to sit down and count the cost. So he wasn't hiding anything, but it was a simple invitation to take my yoke. Now, there are some things we know relative to the high calling that we do not take. For example, we do not take the robe of righteousness. God doesn't lay out robes of righteousness and we come along and pick one up. God places the robe of righteousness upon us. We find this in Romans 8:33 and Isaiah 61:10. Think of that in connection with the doctrine of justification. And justification is a decision that God makes. It's based upon our response to the drawing of God through his truth and his overruling providences. But justification is not our decision, it's God's decision. God counts us as righteous. God places the robe upon us. But the yoke is different. It means a free will decision. Another scripture relative to doing God's will in the gospel age also carries this thought of a free will. For example, we become disciples of Jesus of our own free will. We take up the cross of our own free will. And these are not duty decisions, and they aren't fear decisions. No one enters the straight gate and the narrow way because it's their duty. No one enters as a result of fleeing from the fires of hell. They enter the straight gate, they take up the cross, they become disciples of Jesus because he invites us to become disciples, to take up the cross, to take his yoke. How did Jesus take his yoke? What was his yoke? Well, I think that the words of the Apostle Paul in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse 7, and Paul is there quoting from the 40th Psalm, verse 8. Hebrews 10, 7 reads, "Then said I," and it's speaking as Jesus speaking, "Then said I, lo, I come to do thy will, O God." The yoke means servitude, and the yoke of Jesus was serving God. And when the Lord said, "Lo, I come," it meant, "I take this yoke. I come of my own free will to serve you." God did not place the yoke upon Jesus. Our Lord desired to serve the God. He delighted to do the will of the Father, and he of his own free will took that yoke. "Lo, I come to do thy will." And then the question is, how do we take the yoke of Jesus? We do precisely what Jesus did. We go to the Heavenly Father and we say, "I come to do thy will, O God." God does not place this yoke upon it. We take it of our own free will. It's understood, of course, that we can go to the Father only after we have come to know Jesus. There's no other way. And more than that, we know that we can come to know Jesus only if we are drawn to the Father. Those are two firm scriptures. And of course, we still come to know Jesus only if we respond to the Father's joy. This is a rule for the calling out of a people for his name, and it's never broken. And Jesus said in verse 29, take my yoke. He added the phrase, and learn of me. Why? What does learn of me have to do with taking his yoke? When you interpret the words, take my yoke, as an invitation to share the yoke of Jesus, in that case it would be a yoke where two are yoked together as yoke fellows, which is a scripture thought, then we would interpret verse 30 to mean that the yoke is easy and the burden is light because we are yoked together with Jesus. Because he is the primary burden bearer when the load becomes heavy. And we repeat, this is a good thought. We do want to set that thought aside. It's a principle in the journey along the narrow way. But in our lesson today, we're going to suggest that there is another meaning of the phrase, learn of me, and that has a direct bearing upon the yoke being easy and the burden being light. That's why Jesus put that there. He said, take my yoke, learn of me, the yoke will be easy. What did Jesus mean, thinking of the yoke, when he said, my yoke is easy? What did he mean when he said, my yoke is easy for me? What did he mean when he said, my burden is a light burden? Was it easy for him to endure the contradiction of sinners? I don't think we could say that. There were times in his ministry he wept, not always for joy, but for sympathy with those who sorrowed at the death of Lazarus, for example. Certainly there were other occasions when the anguish of his disciples cut deep into his own heart. We wouldn't say that that was easy for Jesus. Was it a light matter for him to be nailed to the cross and die such a painful death? How could you call that easy? A light. In Gethsemane, the night that Jesus was taken, and he took the three, Peter, James, and John, he said to them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Clearly, from the words of our Lord, this moment was a time of severe trial. There was nothing easy. There was nothing light about it. The experience was, by Peter's definition, a fiery trial. One of many fiery trials that Jesus endured. Enduring the will of the Father. Well, one answer might be, when they said, what did he mean it was light? One answer might be, we say might, we don't think it is, that Jesus was speaking in relative terms, as Paul did. For instance, Paul in 2 Corinthians 4:17, he says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now, Paul, at times, was almost stoned to death. But Paul was speaking relative. He says, compared to an eternal weight of glory, that's a light affliction. You don't think that's what Jesus meant when he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We don't think that he was comparing his 3.5 years of ministry and his experiences then to an eternity of glory. In order to understand the meaning of what Jesus meant when he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, we need to look at those two words. So let's consider them. First, let's consider the meaning of the word easy. Now, sometimes we use the word in this sense. We're watching somebody do something with their hand, perhaps. And they say, Well, I think I could do that. That looks easy. Well, this isn't the meaning of the word. The Greek word doesn't have that meaning at all. There are some times when the kids come in and they slam the door, we say, take it easy. That's a little closer to the meaning. That's not exactly it, but a little closer. However, we have three good authorities to turn to. I'm not talking about Webster and Strong. I'm talking about Peter and Paul and Luke. You see, if we can go to Peter and say, Peter, would you use this Greek word in a sentence so I could understand what it means? And Peter would say, well, read 1 Peter 2:3. And so we'll read 1 Peter 2:3. The other word is used. Verse 3 says, if so be we have tasted that the Lord is gracious. The word gracious there is the same Greek word that Jesus used when he said, my yoke is easy. It's the word chrysitos. My yoke is gracious. That's the same word. The Apostle Paul, if we ask him, he would say, well, read Ephesians 4, verse 32. Let's read Ephesians 4, verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Be ye kind one to another. That is the same word. Kind. The same word that Jesus used. Or if we turn to Luke, Luke might say, we'll read Luke, the 6th chapter and verse 35. So if we read Luke 6, verse 35, it says, but love your enemies and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. And you shall be the children of the highest, for he, that is God, is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Kind. So now we begin to get the meaning of the word. Peter used gracious, or translated gracious there. Kind. Be ye kind one to another. The Heavenly Father is kind. So that's what the meaning of easy is. And Jesus is then saying, my yoke, the yoke that I have taken of my own free will, is a kind yoke. It's not an unpleasant yoke. It isn't harsh. It doesn't chafe me. It fits my shoulders. My Heavenly Father designed it and built it. It is a kind yoke. It is an easy yoke. Now let's consider the other word, burden. What does burden mean? I found out the Greek word now, not the English. We turn to Galatians, the 6th chapter. We can understand the meaning of the word. It will help us understand the meaning of the word that Jesus used. Galatians 6. I'm going to read verse 2 and verse 5. Verse 2, Paul's admonition, it says, bear ye one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. But note what verse 5 says. Verse 5 says, every man shall bear his own burden. Here's a contradiction. Verse 2, Paul is saying, bear one another's burdens. Verse 5 says, every man bears his own burden. Which is wrong. The point is, there's two Greek words used here. The King James translators didn't make that difference. His answer to this seeming contradiction is that in verse 2, he uses the word baros. That means a weight, something heavy. And Paul's advice is good. He's saying, help one another bear those heavy weights, those heavy burdens. It's God's arrangements for the members of the body of Christ, fellow travelers in a narrow way, because if today I have opportunity to help my brother bear a load that has become heavy, tomorrow I may be the one that needs help in bearing a heavy load. So that's the meaning of the word in verse 2. But that isn't what Jesus used when he said, my burden is light. In verse 5, Paul uses a different word. It means something quite different. The word is phortaion, and Strong's Concordance gives a literal meaning as invoice. An invoice. And that the word expresses the thought of a task or a service. Let's see if we can put this together. Paul is saying there, every man shall bear his own burden. Invoice, service. Now, the agreement between a shipper and a trucker, for example, is in the form of an invoice. Invoice is a bill of lading. The trucker doesn't have the option of throwing overboard something that gives him trouble. The reason he doesn't is because he agreed to deliver all of the items on that invoice. This is his agreement. That is his burden, to deliver those items on the invoice. Whether he has flat tires or gets stuck has nothing to do with it. That's not the burden. That's some of the fiery trial the trucker might have. But the burden is the invoice that he agrees to deliver. His yoke is serving as a trucker. His burden is the invoice to a lady. The Jew had a particular burden, and it relates to our scriptures. The burden on the Jew, their invoice, their bill of lading, their agreement, was the law of Moses. Paul said in Romans 7:10, he says, that which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. Paul found out that he couldn't live up to that invoice. He couldn't fulfill what he had agreed to do. And so it was with other Jews. Jesus said, the Pharisees who sit in Moses' seat lay heavy burdens, grievous to be borne on men's shoulders, and they themselves won't touch it. Jesus is saying the Pharisees, they're adding to the law things of their own invention that increases this burden, this invoice upon the Jew. It's the same word. Heavy burdens, phortaion, the word that Jesus used. This leads us now to consider verse 28, back in our text, 11:28. We read 29 and 30. Put it back and read verse 11. Verse 28, rather, of chapter 11. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now this is an invitation. The next verse is, take my yoke. So the invitation to take my yoke, Jesus here in this context is extending it to all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He says, come unto me, take my yoke, the one that I have been wearing, and learn of me, and if you do that, you'll find it's an easy yoke. And you'll find the burden, the invoice, the bill of lading, that is not a heavy one. Who is he talking to? Well, when I read this verse, somehow the words at the base of the Statue of Liberty come to mind. Give me your tired and your poor and your hungry, and so on. In fact, when I read this verse, I think of the millions, yes, billions, of earth who are tired, physically tired, and hungry, We are physically exhausted in the struggle for life. We are bewildered, and they're confused, and they're unable to escape the environment that is very depressing. But that's not who our Lord was talking to. Some of those might have been physically tired and physically weary and might have been hungry. But that's not who he was specifically addressing. Jesus was at Capernaum. Capernaum was one of those cities, you know, that he compared to Sodom and Gomorrah. He performed many miracles there at Capernaum. And that's where he is when he spoke these words. Come unto me, ye that are weary and heavy laden. The people of that city were not impressed by the miracles that Jesus did or the words that he spoke. But he knew, however, that some there were sincere, were honest, and laboring to keep the law. And they were heart weary. They were heart weary because they could not. The law of Moses, the invoice, the bill of lading, the burden of Moses, it wasn't right. They couldn't keep it. And especially so when it was added to by the hypocritical Pharisees. There's a good article in the reprints on page 2625. Comparing this point. When Jesus said in John 14:15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. And in John 14:23, if a man love me, he will keep my words. He is not saying to keep the law of Moses. Keep my commandments. That is the invoice, though. That is the fortium, the burden that goes with the yoke of Jesus. And all those who accept that invitation and take that yoke accept that burden to do the commandments of Jesus. Not the commandments of the law, the commandments of Jesus. Certainly not the least of the commandments that Jesus gave was the commandment that ye love one another as I have loved you. You find that his commandments, the commandments of Jesus, and you find that his burden is light. Is the yoke easy? You recall what John said in 1 John, the 5th chapter? 1 John, the 5th chapter, we'll read verses 2 and 3. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And you note what John says. And his commandments are not grievous. God hasn't made any hard commandments for us to keep. He has not demanded of us to do something that really strains our ability. It's very simple. Be meek, be lowly, have a love for the world, have a love for one another. Those are the simplest, those are easy commandments. That's the burden that goes with it. What's wrong? Why isn't it light? And the yoke of Jesus, lo, I come to do thy will, O God, that's the yoke that Jesus wore, and that's the yoke, if we would be his followers, we would wear. Why isn't it easy? Well, and that brings us to the key point of our lesson. The yoke will be easy, and the burden will be light, only if we learn of him, and only if we become meek and lowly of heart. Let us think about this people yoke for a moment. It is designed to be placed across the shoulders. And if it is an easy yoke, it won't bear on points of the shoulder here. It won't bear on vertebrae back here. It'll be an easy yoke. It won't chafe. It'll be kind. what would happen if bumps or bumps, let's call them bumps of pride, begin to develop on the shoulder? The answer, of course, that would no longer fit. There wouldn't be an easy yoke. Now, a bump, whether it's a pimple or a boil, is an evidence of infection or impurity. Something's wrong. And if we develop, figuratively speaking, bumps on our shoulder as a result of the infection of pride, it's very subtle. It might not be noticed until we were called upon to bear a burden attached to the yoke. And then the pressure of the burden would tell us we've got a sore spot here. Back in the days of my wild youth, when I rode horses and things like that, part of the good, clean fun was to take a burr and put it between the saddle and the horse of your friend. The horse didn't mind it until the rider got on. And the pressure pressed the burr into the horse, and the horse knocked him off. Like I said, just good, clean fun. The burr showed up when the pressure was put on. There's another expression that's used that has to do with shoulders. It's an expression, someone's got a chip on their shoulder. Of course, Bible students don't have chips on their shoulder, but do they? There's nothing worse than having a chip on your shoulder, and that's to have a chip on both shoulders. And obviously, a chip on the shoulder would not have the yoke be easy. Because when the Heavenly Father designed the yoke, He didn't design it for shoulders that had bumps of pride or chips. And so long as those are there, the burden won't be easy, the yoke won't be easy, neither will the burden seem light. But if we learn of Jesus, and learn of Him doesn't mean to read about Him, it means to think about and to try to bring into our lives and our way of thinking and acting what Jesus would have done. He says, I am meek and lowly of heart. And to the degree that we can learn of Him, then His yoke will be easy. We can have no hesitancy. It will be easy. It won't chafe us to do the will of the Heavenly Father. And whatever He has required us to do, we will readily accept it. We will take on that impulse without any problem. But learning of Jesus requires all the days of our Christian walk. 1 John 5, we'd like to read those verses again in closing. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loves Him that beget loves Him also that is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Take my yoke and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. May the Lord add His blessing.
Thank you very much, Brother Stewart. Anybody have a closing kiss? Anybody have a...
How about 306A? 306A. 306A.
No.
306A. Yeah.
306A. There's a difference between the 306 and 306A. Tell the story. Close the meeting with a prayer. We'd like to remind you that there'll be lunch served downstairs, and everyone is invited to stay and partake with us. Tell us all.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we pray in the name of Jesus, and give you thanks for all our loving kindness. Thank you for the privilege of being here this day. Thank you for the fellowship. Thank you for all